If you've been on the highway lately, you may have noticed there are fewer big trucks on the roads this summer. Consumers are buying less, so everybody involved in the vast system that moves products from farms and factories to stores is feeling the difference. We have a report this morning from Frank Morris of member station KCUR in Kansas City.
First thing in the morning, at the big truck stop in Oak Grove, Missouri, the restaurant is not quite half full with truckers like Dee Jones, killing time, making calls, and looking for work.
Good morning, Jeff. Oh, I'm just sitting here in Oak Grove. Well, I'm waiting for you to give me some good news.
Not much of that lately. For every 5 truckloads moving last year, there are now only 4. That's left Jones parked here in his black cap, red shirt, and boots.
If there's somebody that's come up with a hot load here, well, I'm gone. If there's not, I'm here for another day. Freight's down, way down.
Jones finds work where he can. His last load before today was hauling shell casings for military bullets. He also hauls hazardous farm chemicals. Shipments of construction materials and heavy equipment are off the most, fresh and frozen food the least. But even Mac Shepard, a big guy at the counter who hauls meat and produce in a refrigerated truck, is idling here today.
I've been doing this for 32 years, so I'm kind of, it kind of comes and goes, but here lately, I ain't never seen it this bad.
And these days, when Dee Jones fires up his diesel, it's likely as not to be a long haul empty, just to make a pickup.
That is a no-no. That burns your profit up in a hurry.
To make matters worse, shipping rates have collapsed along with demand. Bob Costello, an economist at American Trucking Associations, says the slowdown's hitting independents and big trucking firms alike.
Trucking companies are just shrinking. They're just getting rid of trucks. You don't need them.
And trucking isn't the only part of the freight chain suddenly way too big for this economy.
Yeah, there's a lot of empty warehouses. In Kansas City alone, there is millions of empty square feet of warehouse space.
Doug Farrell is vice president of Scarborough International, a warehouse and customs broker in Kansas City.
The range of stuff that comes through this warehouse is very broad, anywhere from animal pharmaceuticals to plastic material for Walmart cups, plates, things like that, to tractor engines, diesel engines.
As a machine shrink wraps a spinning pallet of plastic Christmas knickknacks, Farrell says the warehouse business overall has dropped about 20%, although they have noticed a recent uptick as some of the seasonal business starts to come in. A few miles away, Keith Milburn, the owner of Creative Fulfillment, another warehouse, says they've also seen a couple of bright spots. These light-up mirrors they're unpacking, for instance.
They're what I would describe as vanity mirrors or ladies' makeup mirrors from China. We have one container that came in last Thursday, got another one today, and we've got another one within the next couple of weeks.
High-end wool socks appear to be selling well, too, as are $500 leather-bound Beatles trivia books. But economist Bob Costello cautions that overall, freight shippers are in for more pain as the logistics system, developed to serve a nation of wealthy free spenders, continues to shrink. For NPR News, I'm Frank Morris in Kansas City.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning. Just as it took a while to confirm we were in a recession, it will take a while to confirm that we are out. Still, the Federal Reserve now says the economy is stabilizing, and many economists think the economy is finally starting to grow again. That doesn't exactly mean the country is booming, but it does signal a big change from a few months ago. Here's NPR's Chris Arnold.
Just this past winter, the mood among economists was more than grim.
I was probably the most concerned I've ever been in my career.
That's Stuart Hoffman. He's the chief economist of PNC Financial Services Group.
Well, markets weren't functioning. Banks couldn't get credit. There was a tremendous amount of fear in the economy.
And nobody knew where the bottom was? Or?
Yeah, that, you know, the stock market would keep going down and that the rate of job loss, which was huge, would just continue at 600,000-700,000 a month, which used to be a bad year.
But this summer, there's been a string of reports showing the economy pulling out of that downward spiral. Home sales are rising again. Job losses aren't nearly as bad. People are buying more cars. And Hoffman says the government's fiscal stimulus is starting to take hold. So he thinks we've successfully avoided what could have been a full-blown depression.
I would make the bold statement that I agree with the majority of my colleagues, economists, that the recession is ending this summer.
Hoffman was part of a group of 47 economists who were just surveyed by the Wall Street Journal. Most said the recession is now over. Yesterday, the Federal Reserve, in a closely watched statement, said economic activity is, quote, leveling out. Nariman Baravesh is chief economist at IHS Global Insights.
On the one hand, the Fed is seeing evidence that the economy has stabilized.
But the Fed also said that household spending, a big part of the economy, is still being constrained. It cited ongoing job losses, tight credit, lower housing wealth, and sluggish income growth. A separate report out this morning shows that foreclosures continue to rise despite government efforts to prevent them. That puts more downward pressure on home prices.
We're not completely out of the woods yet. So the Fed is keeping all its options open. It's going to stay the course until it's quite confident that the recovery has legs, so to speak, that it's self-sustained.
Over the past year, the Fed has pulled out all the stops to defibrillate the seized-up financial system. It's been pumping huge amounts of money into financial firms. It's been buying up mortgage-backed securities and doing other things to push down interest rates for both average people and big companies. Nariman Baravesh.
All the unorthodox monetary stimulus that they've unleashed has actually worked. It's averted Armageddon. We didn't go through Great Depression 2.0. And yes, we had the Great Recession, but it's actually only the Great Recession by a hair compared with some of the other recessions in the post-war period. So they really did avert a very bad scenario by doing what they did.
Also yesterday, a report on the U.S. trade deficit showed that countries around the world are buying more American products again. That's a sign that economies elsewhere are recovering. And Stuart Hoffman says there's another factor, psychology. He says that seems to be stabilizing, too.
I've often referred to that as the yeast. If all these other things are the ingredients that help the economy rise, I'm not a baker, but I'm told you need a little bit of yeast. And I think a change in consumer and business psychology, not to be optimistic, but not to be so darn cataclysmic, because at the end of the day, while the economy is about economic policies, it's also about people, and people's emotions still drive the investments that they make.
Almost nobody's predicting a quick recovery. Home prices are likely to keep sliding this year. Unemployment is expected to remain quite high through 2010. Stuart Hoffman says job growth is always the caboose on the end of a recovery. But at least, he says, the economic train appears to be back on its tracks and moving forward again. Chris Arnold, NPR News.
A survey out today from the phone directory company, WhitePages.com, shows that 81% of people are willing to do without a local phone book when told how many trees are used to produce it. These environmental concerns and internet services are conspiring against the White Pages phone book, though phone companies are still required to offer it. NPR's Yuki Noguchi has more.
For 130 years, there have been white pages, those thick, inky residential directories. But unlike the yellow pages, they don't generate advertising revenue. In most parts of the country, the local telephone company is required to print and distribute them to its customers. John Lusk is vice president of marketing for the web version of the white pages.
There's no reason why we should be forced to print and deliver these phone books to individuals when there are other options out there.
Sure, search engines and lookup sites like WhitePages.com stand to benefit if consumers don't automatically get a book thrown on their doorstep. But Lusk says the change would also save 5 to 10 million trees a year, and it would save taxpayers millions in recycling costs. As for AT&T, the nation's largest phone company, it supports, at least in Florida and some other parts of the country, requiring customers to opt in to get the paper phone book. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News.
Our last word in business is about spiritual opposition to another form of easy money. The word is lotto fever. Millions of Italians have been buying tickets for a big national lottery. It has a jackpot of nearly $190 million. But Catholic church leaders have condemned the lottery, saying it encourages greed and false hope for the poor. The odds of winning are 1 in 600 million, That didn't stop one town mayor from drawing on the salaries of council members to buy tickets. He says he has a better chance of winning than getting the government to pony up funds it owes his town. That's the business news from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.